When we all went into quarantine last year, one of the things that kept me sane was binge watching TV shows. Like most of us, I needed something to take my mind off of everything else that was going on around me. And thankfully, all the media conglomerates heard our cry and delivered us all sorts of crazy TV shows for us to consume. Now, whether your guilty pleasure was Tiger King or 90 Day Fiancé, there were plenty of shows to grab your attention and take your mind off of everything else. One of my favorite shows to watch during this time last year was the ESPN documentary The Last Dance, chronicling Michael Jordan's historic run with the Chicago Bulls. Now, this documentary provided us with all sorts of iconic moments, some really great music, and plenty of meme-worthy content. And at the heart of the show was the exploration of Michael Jordan's intensity and success. What drove him to be the best in the world, and how was he able to stay on top for so long? Of course, you could point to his athletic ability and physical conditioning as one reason. You could also point out the fact that he was a UNC Tar Heel. Thank you, Philip. Thank you, Trent. There's so few in this church, but God bless the ones that are here. But all those things taken together, those are only part of what makes a champion, let alone a global icon. No, Michael Jordan had something more, something different that allowed him to be the best, that allowed him to stand out from everybody else. Listen to how one commentator described it during The Last Dance. Most people live in fear because we project the past into the future. Michael's a mystic. He was never anywhere else. His gift was not that he could jump high, run fast, or shoot a basketball. His gift was that he was completely present at all times, and that was the separator. Michael wouldn't allow what he couldn't control to get inside his head. That's what made him different. That's what made him one of the best. He was always present. He was always focused on today, right here, right now. His focus wasn't going to be anywhere else. He was going to live in the moment. Chronicling the Bulls' playoff series with the Utah Jazz, Jordan summed it up perfectly when asked what he would do if he had to take a difficult to impossible shot in an upcoming game. His response, "Why am I going to worry about a shot I haven't taken yet?" Now, on the surface, this statement sounds a bit brash and overconfident. After all, it is Michael Jordan we're talking about. But beneath the surface, it reveals the confidence of a man who was too busy living in the present to worry about the future. Now, many of us might find the idea of living for today foolish and unwise. After all, we've been taught that planning ahead and to some extent worrying about the future is what it takes to be a responsible, successful human being. But like many things in our world today, I think we've taken this wise advice just a bit too far. Because millions of people wake up every day worried about tomorrow at the expense of today. They're held captive by things they can't control. Now, you don't have to be a genius to see that this is no way to live. After all, how can we see and experience the blessings of today when our eyes are already fixed on the troubles of tomorrow? Now, one of the reasons why Jesus came into our world was to unburden us from our worries and show us how to live the fullest life possible. And as we'll see in today's scripture, that kind of life is found by putting God first ahead of everybody and everything else. For in Christ, we find freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from death, and yes, even freedom from worry. For in Him and through Him, we find everything we need to live for today and the faith to trust that He can do it all again tomorrow. With that in mind, the question Jesus asks us today is, why do you worry? And it comes from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. So if you have your Bibles at home or here, I invite you to turn there or follow us along on the screen, whatever you like. So beginning in verse 25 instead of verse 24, sorry about that. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run around after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. As part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, these teachings about faith and worry come fairly early in Jesus' ministry. At this point in time, he's only recently been baptized, called his first disciples, and begun preaching and healing around his corner of the world. But nevertheless, Jesus' presence and the power of his words have drawn a huge crowd together. And so Jesus decides to sit down on the side of a mountain and begin teaching them what life is really all about. Working his way through powerful teachings on love, faithfulness, and righteousness, Jesus eventually starts talking about something that was just as relevant then as it is now: worry. As he did, the people listening to his words and watching his interactions with others probably would have been thinking the same thing. Jesus seems like a pretty happy guy. You know, of all the words we use to describe Jesus, happy usually isn't at the top of the list. And that's really a shame, because if we're not careful, it's easy to think only of his pain and suffering on our behalf. It's easy to think only of the sad images of Jesus that we're so quick to idolize and put out in front of people. How he was persecuted and rejected at seemingly every turn. How he tearfully wrestled with doing his Father's will as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. How he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. While these images of Jesus are crucial and central to our life of faith, Jesus himself was not some sad individual going from misery to misery throughout his entire life. Jesus knew what it was like to enjoy the simple pleasures of life, and the words he speaks to us in today's scripture help to drive that point home. Growing up in Galilee, Jesus would have watched beautiful birds flying through the air and smelled the fragrant flowers as he admired their beauty. He would have attended countless parties where his family and friends gathered for hours on end for no other reason than to simply enjoy life together. Jesus hadn't simply observed how to live without worries or care. He'd lived it. He knew what it was like to slow down and appreciate the blessings of today without being burdened by the worries of tomorrow. Unlike many of us, he wasn't always anxiously looking ahead, making the present moment count only because of what might come next. No, Jesus seems to have had the skill of totally living in the present, giving his full attention to whatever he was doing and celebrating the goodness of God in the here and now. Friends, that's the epitome of a happy, fulfilled, and focused life. And that's the life he wants us to live as well. As Jesus urges us to make God our first and foremost priority and experience this happiness and joy that he speaks of, it's important to realize which God Jesus is talking about here in Scripture. Now, he's not talking about a God who's distant from the world and doesn't care about things that are important to us, like food, water, clothes, beauty, and so much more. No. He's talking about the Creator himself, who's filled this world with wonderful and mysterious things, things full of beauty, energy, and excitement. He's talking about a caring Father. A caring Father who wants his children to love him, trust him, and receive all the blessings that he offers us in this world. So when Jesus tells us not to worry about what we eat, drink, or wear, he doesn't mean that these things don't matter. He doesn't mean that we should eat and drink as little as possible and shun any and all material possessions. Far from it. Jesus liked a good party as much as anybody else. He enjoyed the fruit of the vine and the harvest of the field. And far from running away from the things of the world, Jesus embraced and enjoyed them every day because he knew that each one was a blessing from God. Jesus wasn't some hedonist who simply lived his life pursuing pleasure at every possible turn. He was a faithful servant. A faithful servant who sought God's kingdom and righteousness before anything else. And day by day, he was rewarded and blessed for it. Already, Jesus has established that the good things of life are meant to be enjoyed and that we can rightfully enjoy them because God is the creator and sustainer of all. And day by day, we know that God can bless our lives when we do so as well, living with the right intentions, living with the right purpose and priorities. But because God is there to care for us and hold us and see us through difficulties and challenges, that doesn't mean that we can simply sit back and take it easy, friends. While Christ invites us to cast our burdens and cares on Him, He intends for you and I to live productive, meaningful lives which benefit ourselves and others. He intends for you and I to work hard and make sacrifices in order to attain what we need to get by. Now, mercifully, God intends these things not because He's some kind of unrelenting taskmaster, but because He's a generous God who wants us to share in the joy of creating, sustaining, and harvesting the good things of this world. He wants us to see, experience, and appreciate all the little blessings that we're so easily taking for granted. The blessings that are easy to miss today because we're so focused on tomorrow. The good news for us today and every day is that these blessings are available to each and every one of us. But in order to see them and receive them, we have to get our priorities straight. We have to get our priorities straight in the present. And just what are those priorities again? Jesus tells us in today's scripture. He says, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." If your first priority is to enjoy the pleasures and comforts of this world, you'll find plenty to keep you occupied, and you'll have a really, really good time. For a while, at least. The good times won't last. They never do. And before long, the pleasures which brought you peace will only start to bring you pain. And you'll spend your days worrying about things you can't control. That's because when the only things which bring you pleasure and peace are the things that you can provide for yourself, you're always going to be worried. You're going to be worried about what happens if you can't get what you want or need. You're going to be stressed out trying to do everything for yourself all the time. You're going to be scared about today, tomorrow, and all the days to come. Friends, Jesus doesn't want you to be worried. He doesn't want you to be stressed out. He wants you to be free, to experience the fullness of this life and to receive all the blessings that come with it. Now, for many of us, this kind of life sounds absolutely impossible. A life without worry? Give me a break. Now, trust me, it sounded just as crazy to the people back then as it does to us today. But that doesn't mean it's impossible. Now, can you or I achieve this on our own? No, absolutely not. But when we seek God's kingdom and righteousness, and we place our faith in someone else's hands other than our own, we will learn to find contentment, joy, and happiness in any situation. As Paul tells us in Philippians 4, verses 12 and 13, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." How can we be content? How can we find joy in today without worrying about tomorrow? How can we be present in the here and now to see how God is already at work meeting our needs. Now, there's not one of us here today who hasn't wrestled with these questions, and we wrestle with them because they matter. Deep down, I believe that we all recognize the futility of worry. We recognize that it doesn't do us any good. It doesn't add anything to our lives. It only takes away. Yet we face worry almost every single day of our lives. We worry about our parents, our kids, our spouses, our jobs, our classes, our education, our country, our environment, and so much more. Our days are restless and our nights are long as we agonize over worries beyond our control. When we think about this present reality, what Jesus said becomes more and more true. Each day has enough trouble of its own. There is and always will be trouble in our world. And every one of us is going to face it in our lives. Some, unfortunately, more than others. But that doesn't mean that our lives should be defined by these troubles and worries. That doesn't mean that we can't find peace in the midst of difficulty. We just have to know where to go and who to turn to find it. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Your life, friends, your life is a precious gift given and sustained by God Himself. He's given it to you not as a burden, but as a blessing to be enjoyed each and every day. Jesus knows you're going to face troubles. He knows that all sorts of worries are going to fill your head. And while He stands prepared to help you face and overcome these challenges, difficulties, and worries, He wants you and I to remember that there's more to life than the troubles of tomorrow. He wants us to enjoy the blessings of today. But in order to do that, we must confront our worries lest and put them aside, lest they turn into something far, far more destructive. For you see, our simple worries turn to sin when they lead us to believe that Christ hasn't overcome the troubles of our world, that He hasn't provided us with what we need, and that He seems entirely incapable of doing so. That's how the devil firmly keeps you in his grip. By filling your head with worries which lead you away from Christ. Worries which wind up taking priority over any and everything else, especially God's kingdom and His righteousness. Now, the devil doesn't have to do a lot to make this happen. He doesn't have to convince you that the troubles of this world are too much for God. He's just got to make you worry that they are. After that, our obsessive natures can take it from there, and before you know it, our worries become self-fulfilling prophecies. Because when you give yourself over to worries and fears, they keep producing more things for you to be worried about and fearful of. It's a horrendous, vicious cycle that so many are unable to break out of because they can't see a way out. They can't find the good in today because why? They're not living in the moment. They're not living in the here and now and looking at everything that God has blessed them with and is doing for them. Friends, if your eyes are fixed on the problems of yesterday or the worries of tomorrow, you'll never, ever be present enough to enjoy the blessings of today. As Jesus tells us, and as we know from experience, this is no way to live. Life is too precious a gift to squander and waste by worrying away day after day. You can't let tomorrow's troubles take your eyes off of what God wants to bless you with today. You just got to focus. So calm your anxious hearts. Quiet your restless mind. Talk it out with people who can help you. And most importantly, be present with the one who's demonstrated time and time again that he's able to overcome your troubles, worries, and fears. Rest in his promises. Claim his peace. And don't get worked up over stuff that you can't control. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Just focus on today. Focus on what Christ is in the midst of overcoming for you as we speak. And be grateful. Be glad And most importantly, be blessed. For in him and through him, we find everything we need to live for today and the faith to trust that he can do it all again tomorrow. Would you pray with me? God, we come together this morning laying our worries and our fears at your feet, knowing that you alone can do with them what no one else can do. We know that we can bring our burdens and you will shoulder them for us, that you will relieve us of all the stress and worry and anxiety that plagues our lives and our world today. For Lord, we know that you are able. We know that you are loving. And we know that you are with us each step of the way. And God, as we take each step, may we be present in the here and now. May we be present and focused on today so that we can see who you are in this moment with us, so that we can see what you are doing for us that we might otherwise not be able to see. Lord, help us focus on the blessings of today. Help us focus on your love and help us to share it with others who may be going through the same worries and fears as well. For God, you provide us the happiest path to walk in this life. It's hard, it's difficult, and it asks so much from us. But Lord, when we do so, you bless us with so much in return. And for that, we are forever grateful. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. If you have worries on your heart today that you need to share with somebody else, I'll be happy to speak with you in the back in just a moment at one of our prayer tables. Or if you've been thinking about and experiencing some of the greatest worries in this life, worries about what this all means, where do I go from here, is there life after death, hand those worries over to God. He can bless you, assure you, and raise you to new life with him through a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. That's the most powerful way to rid your life of worries beyond your control, to place your faith in the one who has already taken care of everything that you ever have to be worried about. As we rest in his faith and as we claim his promises of always being with us, let us stand and sing of his goodness and love as we realize that his blessings overcome our worries day by day. Let us stand.